On this week's episode, we talk about Spaceman.
And other pop culture news.
This week, we watched the newest movie from Adam Sandler and Netflix. It's a drama, and it's called Spaceman.
Yeah, drama sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's, he did sci-fi. I guess Pixels was sort of a sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And drama he did, some mm-hmm. very good ones. This yeah. one, quick synopsis.
Yeah, so this one, as I recall, it's actually based on a novel, like a Czech novel.
Yes.
And it's actually like the Czech space program. Anyway, he's an astronaut on a solo mission to explore this anomaly that's appeared in the solar system that's visible from Earth. And it's like a year-long mission, and He's
far. Where's he? Where, it's like they mentioned. Isn't he at Jupiter?
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. So it's in the solar system. It's visible from Earth, but it is like quite a ways. Anyway, so he's on his way out there. But as he goes, he's coping with some stuff, like trouble with his wife, who was pregnant, and then suddenly, this alien or hallucination shows up and guides him through some stuff.
Yeah. It's a compelling, interesting, visually beautiful. They have some really good images. This is very, very different. If anything, you might say anything about the movie, and you're gonna say some things about the movie. Adam Sandler proved more than once, and this one is another example. That he can act. He's not just a funny guy that makes jokes. Mm-hmm. On this one, even in comedic moments, he doesn't break into the usual tone,
yeah.
or the usual. This one, he is that character, and is believable. He's really good. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't know, the writing might not help. There's like some moments of uninterestingness. There's some moments that it's too slow. The director we talked about, what was it that I mentioned he did?
Oh shoot!
Chernobyl.
Yes.
Yeah. The guy worked in Chernobyl, mm-hmm. and for Chernobyl it was the perfect tone, especially as a real human. Universal earthly tragedy.
Yeah.
On this one, since it's fiction, and there's a human tragedy, but fiction, and there's the personal mm-hmm. tragedy. All together, I think it fails in some moments, considering mm-hmm. Timing and no acting, because both actors, and I mean three actors, we have. Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. We have this girl's name?
Carey Mulligan,
who's, you know,
fantastic.
Yeah, she does all sorts of things and everything she does mm-hmm. well. Paul Dano voices the. How do they? He has a name. Hoshu.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, is the name of a physicist. An
ancient, yeah, astronaut. Czech
first astronomer. Yeah,
yeah.
First known American to step in space, something like that.
No.
Yeah. No?
No, because the first, those were a bunch of cosmonauts. And they did it before the Americans. No, the...
There was something pointed out about
the... My memory's so bad. There was like a story about a clock, and it was a Czech astronomer.
It was the
or
clock
engineer.
Guy. Yes,
yeah.
That's right. But there was something about the astronaut. There was a note here on the...
Yeah.
On the... what's it called? IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Sandler, he has his daughter there because,
yes,
you know.
I know you were wondering, but Alex, Chelsea, Rhett and a team, where could he fit his children in? Don't worry, he did it. Sonny
okay.
was there.
Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic already had an astronaut cosmonaut. It was Vladimír Remek who flew into space on board of the Soyuz 28 in 78. He was the first non-Soviet and non-American astronaut. So it's not a character from the movie. It's just a reference to the space program mm-hmm. on that part of the world.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. So the script. It. Yeah. It dragged in some places. There were moments where, dare I say, it was almost kind of boring. And I was frankly a little bit disappointed in Carey Mulligan's character. Not because of anything she did. She acted, like we already said, she's magnificent. But I feel like I've seen this character before. Like, it, like, and just like the way it was portrayed, it was kind of a stereotype of like the lost love or things like that. So I wasn't, for me, that aspect of it wasn't like super captivating. So it left a little bit to be desired, but when it was good, it was really, really good. Something that was really fun for me was like the incredible detail in the sets. We spend most of the time obviously inside the space capsule, and they never outright say, or it takes them a very long time to outright say, like, this is the Czech space program and these characters are from the Czech Republic and blah blah. But you just kind of pick it up through like all these incredible details all over the place. And like, so there are a few lines and things. Anyway, I just thought that was something that was very successful. The weightlessness, the effects were all done really, really well, to the point it was not distracting at all. Like, it all felt very natural. Yeah. And real. It was really cool.
The movie is very quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's very, honestly, almost cold, because, you know, music and that sound and music that goes mm-hmm. back to, you know, the fathers of cinema and the theologians of how sound destroys cinema, and there's controversy about mm-hmm. that. And of course there's some moments and movies that the music guides the feeling, guides mm-hmm. the audience for good or for bad. And this one is raw, as some filmmakers do, and the feelings is between you, the image, and what's going on with the characters. Yeah, it's between goods and bads. It's not terrible. It's not awesome. It's mm-hmm. it's worth watching. Adam Sandler. And you know, I wonder how the process of getting him to be on the movie happened, because I don't think, if I remember correctly, he doesn't sign as a producer, which he does in yeah. most of his movies, if not all of his movies.
Yeah.
This one, he's there to act, and he does.
Yeah, he sure does. And I wonder what, like, and I am cautious about giving it like a negative critique, just because I went into it with very high expectations. But maybe that's why, like, the stuff he's been doing where he's like producing, writing, directing or whatever, like, has been like stellar. The last few projects have been unbelievable. This one, maybe I was expecting like the full Adam Sandler drama, and it was just partially Adam Sandler drama.
Yeah, if
so any, overall, if any, pretty good.
If any, credit to him, because it's he was there to act, and he acted mm-hmm. Instead of, like, it's not his movie, he is
yeah.
on this guy's movie. But yeah, mm-hmm. overall, between good and bad, it was worth it. If you mm-hmm. want to check, you might love it. Mm-hmm. And even though the critics are not loving it, the audiences are being nice and generous, or mm-hmm. they've been sincere and they liked it.
Yeah, overall, it's definitely worthwhile, and it's nice to see different.
It's not Rain Over Me, or Punch Drunk Love, or mm-hmm. any other dramas. He's been involved too, but it's again, the overall. Not mentioning yeah. the acting, I thought it was really good. Yeah. It was actually very, it was like, I was trying to, it's like, is this guy supposed to be Czech? Does he have like notes of accent? He was like serious to the point that almost sounded like a different person, which that's the work of an actor. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, anything else?
Nope.
Spaceman, like Spaceman, mm-hmm. Spaceman. Mm-hmm. It's available on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can check.
Yep. Okay. Moving on to Dune. Let's look at the box office here for a minute. So, Dune Part 2, which we saw and talked about last week, despite some critiques and disappointments on our part, overall, it is a pretty fantastic film. And it had a $12 million Thursday box office. And over the whole weekend was $75 million.
Yeah, I keep hearing people loving it for mm-hmm. this and that. And I mean, there's a timing problem. I guess people are willing to stay there, like watching sand move for hours.
But Villeneuve, like, he did kind of set us up with, like this time, like, we knew coming into it that it was going to be many hours of the desert.
Yeah.
So,
some of the things that I hear is that it was really good and it was spectacular, which, if you take all the problems we found, yeah, sure. I didn't see anybody talking bad about Zendaya. Character being completely changed, and there's even people claiming or hoping through commentaries that she'll be the hero of the next movie, which is
that'll be a huge. Granted, I haven't read Dune Messiah yet, but
she dies. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
She dies on birth, so which would be at this point. No, she has three kids. She has the daughter. Ataleia? No.
That's a sister.
Yeah, I can't remember. She dies on... Yeah.
Zendaya doesn't have Aaliyah.
She not me on the books. She has Aaliyah, and then she goes on to have twins. She dies in the birth of the twins. Anyways, so I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to do with her. I don't know. Maybe people like her so much that... But it was like the character was... I did see also... I also saw a lot of memes putting her like with... A complaining ugly face and being a different character than the character on the book. So honestly, if she was raised, and of course I saw, and you probably saw, a lot of memes on Lisan Al-Ghayib. He does like cut the finger, right?
Yeah, doing like the little magic tricks of like taking off. I can't do it. I'm not Lisan Al-Ghayib, but yeah, doing like goofy little magic tricks and Javier Bardem be like,
which I mean, most of them I thought it was funny, but it kind of pushes me. One of the main flaws of the movie is to make this whole thing of the chosen one ridiculous, and. To the point is, this guy believe in anything, right? Mm-hmm. And he's stretching that out of the movie into jokes. So, sure, it's funny, but that stretches the problem created in the movie, stretches the problems to out of the movie, and accentuates the problem. You know, the pointing is actually at the problem. I guess some people, hello. You're listening to us on Retina Weekly Stereo from Centerville, Utah. But overall, the movie is a huge success, and they definitely gonna make more, even though there's nothing officially announced.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, over on streaming, Shogun premiered at like number one in the top 10. Also, the premiere itself had over 9 million views across the different streaming platforms that it was on.
Yeah,
I think it's totally deserved. It's such a cool show.
And it's multi-platform because, you know, Hulu, Disney and Hulu, they're mixing everything until they finally decide to find a home and double the price because that's what they do. Anyways, but the show is excellent.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I will say it is weird seeing it pop on Disney Plus because, like, we turn on Disney Plus almost every day to turn on Bluey. And so I'm looking for Bluey and there's Shogun. And I'm like, just say Shogun is not... It's like super rated R, super violent. It seems a little out of place on Disney.
If I have a problem with the movie is speaking Portuguese, and every time everybody speaks Portuguese, it's English.
That's right.
Very, very careful. And I can't remember his name, the main actor.
Hiroyuki Sanada.
Came on an interview. I was like, I wouldn't do it if the cast wouldn't really speak Japanese or wear Japanese, something like that. But when it's Portuguese, whatever. Who cares about Portuguese?
I think it would be so much cooler if
they
have
a Portuguese actor there.
That's right. And not Brazilian, like Portuguese.
Yeah, the fake Portuguese she means.
Right.
From Portugal. Right. Yeah. Anyways, the show is excellent.
Yeah.
There's three episodes. Yeah, we went behind. Four? Mm-hmm. No, three. There's one episode every week. And it's available on Hulu and on Disney. Mm-hmm. You should check.
And Star? Is it on Star as
Star
well?
Plus? Oh, I guess it's available on Star Plus too.
Yeah. Okay, also in streaming, Oppenheimer it had its first week on Peacock with 821 million streaming minutes.
Yeah.
And like, it's a long movie, but it's not that long. A lot of people are watching this.
Watched and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we had some movies getting out into the global box office. Anyone But You has demolished the Marvels across the planet.
Yeah, it's doing really great. Mm-hmm. It's a light, cute comedy, romantic comedy, you know, mm-hmm. girls you like, and boys will take the girls to see, and it's doing great. Did you find out what it's based on? Shakespeare, right?
You had said that. I feel like we heard that, but I never actually followed through and figured it out.
So not yet.
Yeah.
Eventually, we might watch it and we might find out. Yeah.
Yeah. Madame Web did worse in China.
China, which is the money financier of or technology, or, you know, China is this big enemy, but they make a lot of money for the industry. And when a movie fails here, there's a hope that it will be better overseas. And when they say that, it's mostly China. Not because we care much about China's opinion, because there's so many people there. So many people. That means a lot of money.
Isn't the Chinese box office like largely responsible for the scope of the Transformers franchise?
They do love their Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not shy about their racial preferences. Which
That's
some
right.
people might say they're racist. Anyways, is their culture, is their definitions.
I would say racial preferences, but, a little sketch, a little racist.
Yeah, but like Star Wars is like a very famous instance of that. In Star Wars Episode 1.
No, it was Episode 7.
Blasphemy. Episode 7.
How dare you?
The Force Awakens, John Boyega. Black actor,
and a main character in the film.
A main character in the film. On the poster in China, he was like shrunk to the back.
Yeah, so he went from like part of the trio to like this.
Yeah. So they have that in some movies that do okay here might do very well there, but again, some movies that are very well here did not do okay. They're like Star Wars didn't do very well there, but there's always a hope that if you didn't do here, it's like the Chinese gonna eat it, they're gonna love it. No,
they did not. And I never thought I would live in a world where Dakota Johnson and I would be like totally on the same page, simpatico as it were, but I 100% agree with some remarks she came out with. I probably will never do anything like it again. Totally fair. But this is the good one. My feeling has been for a long time that audiences are extremely smart and executives have started to believe that they're not. And she basically called out the suits for what they did to Madame Web. I don't know what they're doing to
I mean,
the superhero genre in general.
Sure, that's what she meant, but you can pick that quote as for making Madame Web, because like nobody asked for it, you know. It's like you watch that trailer, it's like, really, you're making that? Okay.
But like, I still stand by the fact it could have been cool, because wasn't that the attitude about the Avengers?
What?
You know, like, really, you're making a movie about like Iron Man and Thor? Like, they weren't the big ones, but they made them big. They gave them like great casting and solid movies.
Yeah.
And they got to be huge.
But again, after the 10 years or so, you have the expectation, right? You have the standard here, and then you not even go to that level, you're lower. Yeah.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, Madame Web didn't bomb because it's an obscure character. It bombed because it was a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it bombed. I mean, what I say about it, it's not because of the... Yeah, it is because of the character. But I mean, it's like, why? Why are you going to make a movie about El Muerto? Oh, because he's Latino, because he's Hispanic, and we need representation. It's like, but the character does... No. First, there's so many other characters that would need a movie first, then Madame Web. It's like a C-class villain on the books.
Mm.
Anyways, moving on. Madame Web.
Yeah, okay. Did you want to say anything about Sydney Sweeney?
Actually not. Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, okay.
That is very successful on Anyone But You.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes that big one, Anyone But You. Nothing to do about...
Much to do about nothing?
Yeah. It's like... Anyone about you? Nothing new about nothing. I don't know if the play is
No.
on that. I mean, you don't know it. It's in the movie. It could be. But anyways, she was on SNL last week, and she was a good sport, if you may, about Madame Web failures, and even made jokes about it.
Oh, good for her.
She read the jokes, but she was willing to, right? She could say no. And yeah.
Nice. All right, let's look at upcoming projects on television and film. So first of all, apparently old shows are dominating the charts.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Again, it's not a surprise. You know, there's so much crap out there, so much garbage agenda being pushed to people it's people that don't want it, people that know and agree, but they tire of it, or even in detriment of the story. You know, if I'm sitting to watch a story, I want to be sitting to watch a story. I don't want, like, Cerveza Cristal every 30 seconds. How are you going to talk about that? Mm-hmm. But, that is pushing people to watch old shows. We do watch old shows for the same reason, because one, the test improved. That they good and funny, so we go back to those. And shows like Big Bang, it's not even that old of a show, but like Big Bang Theory is up there, Friends is up there. Just to mention some.
I think it's been really, I've enjoyed watching old shows with our kids too. It shows, I mean, like you've shown us shows that like I didn't watch when I was a kid, and the girls obviously haven't seen, but then like we all get to have this memory, this experience together, and they also get to see like what our life was like growing up, like what life was like in the 90s and the 80s and 2000s.
Phones.
Yeah, like without the internet, and I don't know, it's just it's
you
been
have to
really
wait years to see a movie.
Yeah, so besides the fact that there is like some really quality content out there, and streaming makes it readily available, it's a really fun thing to do with a family, I think.
Yeah,
to revisit some of those. Okay, cool. So old shows dominating the charts, but a bunch of new stuff coming. Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender did get renewed for 2 more seasons, and that's going to conclude it. So they are following the animation model with like 3 seasons of the animated series for the whole story.
It was 3 seasons animated? Okay.
Yeah, and it was meant to be.
Okay.
Like that was the whole arc. Upload got renewed for its 4th and final season.
Okay.
Which is good. I think that show's done.
It is Upload, 4th season, then it's Control Alt Delete.
Yes. Tim Allen, what do you know about the Tim Allen pilot?
Okay, so ABC picked up another Tim Allen show, and it's called Shifting Gears.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sitcom, as he does. And this one is about a widower. That's what you call the man?
Yes.
A widower, and he owns car restoration shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's like in his realm of knowledge and skills, and he likes it.
It's a classic Tim Allen.
A
there.
Little bit of romance there, maybe Shifting Gears, because now he's.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she just died and he has to live with that. That's kind of sad. Maybe she died a
but
while
there's
ago.
There's a lot of ways that could go. Like a lot of potential gear shifts, right? Like, she just died, and he just to that, and then maybe
then,
it's time to get back out there, so then he adjusts to that.
Yeah, that's
like,
something.
There's a lot of
maybe,
room.
Maybe she died a while ago, and now it's time to get back out there. Because if she just died, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she died. Moving on. Next. This is kind of, it's funny, but it shouldn't. So Tim Allen is great, and he's, did you talk about his idea for Toy Story?
Yeah, about Andy's kids, right?
Andy adult.
Yeah.
And he finally talks to the kids, to the toys, sorry. He finally talks to the toys to have, to do a final goodbye. Not that the last goodbye wasn't said enough, right?
Seriously, man. Toy Story 3 wrecked me.
Yeah. So, I thought
I was a college student. I was a college student sitting there at the theater.
So was Andy.
Just bawling.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But a good idea. They might not use it because, you know, Disney. And,
they don't have a great track record at the moment.
Yeah. Anyways. So, yeah, he's coming to ABC soon. And, yeah, you're going to watch it. We like him.
Yeah, he does have a very good track record. The Young and the Restless was renewed for 4 more seasons. Gonna bring it up to season 55.
Yeah, wow.
Man, soaps, man.
55 seasons.
Yeah.
Are there seasons annual?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Even as a kid, I don't know. I've never really got soaps.
No, I'm not telling you to watch. I'm not recommending.
No, I'm just saying, like, I really, like, I'm not. What's it called? I've never been super interested. Young and the Restless.
Young?
And I don't say that, like, if you're into your soaps.
No, I'm just curious on how long is
that. I just, I'm not into it.
Oh, it is 50 years. The show came out in 1973.
Oh, dang.
Before we were born.
So it's not like Survivor doing two a year.
Yeah, well, Survivor doesn't do two a year, actually.
Really?
Yeah, no, they've got to. You're right. Yeah, they used to. They don't do it anymore. No, they still do. February and fall. Yeah. Spring and fall.
Okay. Yeah. Which, again, I'm not mad about.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay.
Let them stay young after 50 plus years. But they might be restless. Yeah.
Young Sheldon, the spinoff, did get a series order.
Yeah, for the young couple, the brother, Sheldon's brother and his...
Georgie and... Gosh, what is her name?
Montana. Montana is actually his name.
Yeah, the actor's name is Montana Jordan. Such a great... Oh, man. Anyway, that boy doesn't have a horse. Yeah. He's doing it wrong.
So, we'll see. I'm very curious about it because the characters are not bad, but it's like their own show... So they will move away from the family, or the family will be there? Will be an extension of the show just because Sheldon leaves to college? I don't know.
Do we have a title?
There's a tragedy. I'm not sure about that. But then there's a tragedy because on Big Bang Theory, Sheldon mentions the fact that his father was caught his father cheating.
Oh.
And he leaves.
Well, not just that. Like, Georgie goes through a bunch. At least in the show, they mentioned Georgie goes through a few... wives or girlfriends or
so whatever. All that, I don't know, they might skip the end of Sheldon to a happy ending, or they might pretend that the audience has forgotten, not gonna touch that, or it's gonna end in a tragedy. That would kind of suck.
I was like, I suspect it's the first one, we're just gonna end it happy and imply that this thing happened somewhere in between. But if you are going to retcon something, retconning a failed marriage into a successful marriage, there are worse things that have happened.
Yeah, well.
I think. I.
At some point, they're successful. But the lately episodes, we see that they are reconnecting. There's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, a quick one about Young Sheldon. Parsons, Gene Parsons, and Maya Mullally are all set to be... somewhere in the finale. I don't know if just voices or if they're gonna be there. Probably gonna be there, because if it was voices, they wouldn't make a big deal, because we heard them before. He's on the episode almost like
he narrates all of them,
and she'd been a couple of times.
All right, what's Matthew Vaughn doing?
Oh, finally everybody was waiting. Matthew Vaughn said he's coming back for another Kick-Ass 3. I mean, it will be the third movie. I don't know if it's going to be called that, but yes. So, great property, great comic book. He did a terrific job in the first movie. The second movie, not so much, but it was good too. Let's see what the third time is a charm. Let's see what's coming.
I don't know. We'll find out. The upcoming Jurassic World sequel has a fun new title. Jurassic City. So I guess we're going urban with like Las street Vegas? Dinosaurs. Las Vegas would be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. It just came to my mind now, but I have no idea. With Jurassic City, okay.
Or just like a totally different vibe with like New York City or something.
City does. It would be the opposite now, right? It's a city that is closed, protected from the dinosaurs. And something gets wrong, and the dinosaurs it's because something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
Something goes wrong, and when the dinosaurs invade the city and they have to deal with it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. My dad pointed this out to me, and it kind of ruined Jurassic Park for a minute for me.
Oh, you're going to ruin it for everybody now?
No, just hear me out. That, like, after the first one, the first one's phenomenal. But then, like, the plot is always the same. Like, there's people and there's dinosaurs. People do something really stupid.
But that's what happens when you make movies about people. People always make something
I guess,
stupid.
But in this case, they're making the same mistake over again. Like, over and over and over again. Like, let's make a park with them. Let's capture the dinosaurs. Let's breed a crazy new dinosaur. This has happened many times. But, like, it's so entertaining, even though it's the same...
plot.
Very similar plot every time. Like, there's people, there's dinosaurs. Someone is going to be motivated by greed to do something very, very stupid and predictably stupid. And...
yeah, but that's, like, 95% of the movies.
Plucky heroes are going to save the day. But I'm really just here for the dinosaurs. Yeah. So
people making stupid mistakes. That's the executives of Disney or Sony.
Yeah.
And they keep doing it.
And not just like predictably stupid mistakes. It's not even like, well, this could work out. Like, there was no chance.
I would be corrected, but then Web, Morbius, the Buzz Lightyear movie, whatever.
Oh, that one. Besides being so unnecessary. Ugh.
Anyways.
Like, I could have told every one of these. Like, I could have told you. I feel like Hollywood should be coming to us with scripts. Like, we could be script consultants. And I feel like we'd be really good at it.
Yeah.
Or, like, get us screening, doing some market research. Because I feel like we've called so many of these. It's like, this is going to happen. It's going to be terrible. Yeah. Or, anyway. That was a rant.
Fine. It's all true. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Granted, some are so bad that you don't need to be a specialist to... to say, oh, this is going to suck.
That's what I'm saying. But if they want to, like, throw a bunch of money at this stuff, throw the money our way.
Yes.
Throw the money our way for a moderate fee. We'll review this stuff. Either, like, the finished product, the scripts, whatever. I'm not picky. We'll show you all the stuff that is very obviously terrible. And in the long run, save you a bunch of money. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways. Maybe then we could buy a house.
Anyways.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage is set to return as Ghost Rider in the new Deadpool movie. Everybody's reported to be there, so that's not even a surprise. Mm-hmm. But there's a additional rumor that he'll be part of Secret Wars, future MCU property where wars will collide. So it's like Crisis on Infinite Earths of Marvel Universe.
Yeah. James Gunn. I just got off of my rant. James Gunn reportedly wants Elizabeth Debicki to be the DCU's new Wonder Woman.
She, let's go through it. So she's a woman, check. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful woman, check. Mm-hmm. She's a decent, she's a good actor, check.
Yeah, she was great in The Crown.
Yeah, and was she on Tenet? No, she was on Tenet. Yeah, she's good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, they had a perfect one. Why move on? But he wasn't like kids DC universe. Yeah. So that was this rumor. She didn't sign. There's nothing official.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's not even the kind of thing you say when you didn't sign it, because now you're gonna pay. You know, it's like, I want you.
As a word.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anyways, he came up to deny, which might mean was always a rumor, or might mean they are in negotiations and he's trying to not because this affects the negotiations greatly. So yeah, there's another terrible rumor about the DC universe is that Batman would be black. Why? Because, I mean, they just announced Perry White. The guy has white on the name. and is a black dude, but...
Well, they did that in...
Yes. But, I mean, the casting...
I feel like with Perry White, it doesn't really change anything.
Anyways. The casting was, like, following, like, visual medium, right? Superman, like, trunks and all that.
Yeah.
And then some changes come to stage... but Batman Black is, it's the Waynes in Gotham, and the history, good and bad history they go through, is like, they could not be black. It doesn't fit historically. There's a black Batman, which also wouldn't work because he's the son of Lucius Fox. That eventually becomes Batman. But that's after, like, I don't know, 80 years of Batman. And now Batman, I can't remember, dies, retires. They come up with something stupid to be replaced and replaced with him. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's those rumors. We'll see. They might come up as, oh, this is a different universe where, you know, I don't know.
Slavery, I mean, that is kind of the point of all that.
Slavery didn't exist. Or, anyways, yeah. Next.
Yeah, well, none of this is looking great for Warner. Apparently, Warner fell to its lowest price, like stock price, in history.
So. Yeah, it's going really bad. It approaching $7 share.
Per share, yeah.
Yeah, so it was doing really bad. But Dune is saving the day, so they might make 17 more Dunes. With Zendaya saying, he's not a messiah! When, anyways, moving on.
Okay, what's up with Forbes and Hollywood?
So Forbes published the list of the most successful, meaning most making money rich people in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So, you want to guess who's number one?
Hollywood, not just like entertainment across the board.
What's the difference? Not music.
Yeah, that's yeah, the difference. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Okay, number one. Adam Sandler.
Really?
$73 million.
Okay.
Yeah. The highest paid. The highest paid. That's a list. The highest paid this past year. Okay.
Yeah, he came up with a few movies. Next? Who comes next? Well, who would be highest paid? Jennifer Aniston's been busy. Who had Timothy Chalamet had some big ones.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not
so let's go. Let's go through the list.
I'm trying to think of like people who had like multiple big movies coming out.
Number two, a woman, Barbie.
Margot Robbie. Duh.
$59 million. Yeah. So she's
acting, producing.
She's doing good. Ah. Yeah, she's making some good money. Number three, we have Tom Cruise. 45.
Oh my gosh, well I forgot deserved. All the big obvious ones.
He brings the bacon.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is close.
Yes, he's been 43. Very busy.
Matt Damon with 43. Jennifer Aniston. Matt Damon was an Oppenheimer and he's always.
That's right. Doing
things. He's one of the Dumb Kings. The Dumb Kings.
That's right.
Jennifer Aniston, $42 million.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio, $41 million.
Duh.
Jason Statham, $41 million.
Oh.
Ben Affleck, $38 million. Denzel Washington, $24 million. And let's end the list here.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that's the list.
I forgot all the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. No, they've all been busy and have put out some pretty good stuff. So cool. Okay. Netflix is continuing its whole live thing. They aired the SAG After Awards live, and I guess they're going to continue that with boxing.
Yeah, they move into the live sports arena, and they're going to do this one. This is kind of trendy. It's even like a bit ridiculous. It's like the Paul brothers, one of the Paul brothers, Jake Paul. It's like a YouTube sensation became a thing because of YouTube. And start fighting boxing.
No, the boxers, and they're really tough, and I clearly respect them a lot.
And then they decide to challenge real boxers, right? And this time he challenged Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight's going to happen in July. And it's going to be live and on Netflix. And yeah, at least it's something curious. And if it's on Netflix, right? And you have Netflix, it's like, all right, sure, we're going to watch.
It's a good point. Are they going to charge, like, do the whole pay-per-view thing?
No, or? Netflix doesn't do that. You the guy... It's classy, it's old school. He said, now even commercials, they're not going to do that.
Oh, right on. Good for that.
Yeah. But don't share your password with half of your country. Because, that they don't like.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. If they're not going to throw ads at us, that's fair.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins got a different rating, a more restrictive rating in the United Kingdom for use of a slur, some discriminatory language. This is 6 years after its release, but like a lot of these older films, they're getting slapped with other extra warnings, notes, things like that.
Yeah. There was another one, I can't remember. Was it Wizard of Oz? I can't remember. There was another one that's getting to the same time of Not criticism, stupid regulations, because, you know, it's so hypocritical of the thing, an old movie that was made for that generation, and it was like, you know. And then nowadays we see the amount of crap they say in the movies and on TV, you know, and there's no like trigger warning, there's no like what they say?
In front of. Yeah, a lot of them they'll put up the whole like this. The following program contains mature language or whatever.
Yeah, but some like even broadcast TV, they put like a tiny little M there, and
yeah, they put a rating on it.
And they get away by putting that. They get away with saying all sorts of crap, you know. Because, oh, we told you. I say no, you shouldn't. Period. Anyways.
Well, I guess that's how it goes. Well, there's kind of an odd thing about this. The word that's used in the movie is so old and so old fashioned. Like,
what's the word? Do you remember?
Yeah. So, well, I had to look it up because I couldn't remember, even though it's one of my favorites.
Is multiple times or is one time?
No, I think it's just the one time, maybe a couple. There's one character who uses it.
Who?
The Admiral.
Okay.
Who lives next door to them and fires off the cannon. Anyway, he talks about the Hottentots. This was a derogatory.
That's
the word. Okay. It was a derogatory term used by British imperial forces when they were colonizing parts of Africa, and the Hottentots were a specific group of Africans, or at least that was the British word for them, right? So not great, but it's a word that like nobody has used forever. So I was going through the comments and going through the article trying to figure out like what in the world this word was and what had I missed. So anyway, the irony is that now a bunch of people are like have learned and are talking about this word, and it hasn't really been in use for like decades. So it kind of like in trying to censor it, I guess, it just sort of brought everything back up to everyone's attention. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's
so kind of an irony, I guess, that you get with a lot of censorship. Like when you bleep words, it just makes it more obvious. If that.
Oh yes.
Like it draws attention
to
the
thing.
Yes. Or if you put like a black bar over something, then it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Censorship is
Anyways.
Not.
Talking about things that pop on TV unexpectedly.
Yeah. So this is, where was it? Was it Chile?
I think it was Chile.
Yeah. So this recently came out that when Star Wars aired on television in Chile, instead of doing commercial breaks, they just edited the commercials right in. Yeah. Frankly, they did a pretty slick job.
Yes.
But it's bizarre and hilarious.
Yeah. So things like when Obi-Wan or Ben is opening his chest to get the lightsaber to give to Luke from his father, there's like beers there.
Yeah.
With a big
logo. But not just any beer. Yeah. Not just any beer.
Yeah. Cerveza Cristal.
With a whole song.
They have a little jingle there.
Yeah.
It's like.
It's so weird.
It's like, sure, they don't cut it, but it's so distracting. It's so like, what?
It's bizarre. And even having like really intense moments, like the throne room, the Death Star throne room scene, which is like the pinnacle of like the whole struggle that Luke has had with like light and dark, and this incredible moment. We see it like suddenly the Emperor's hand reaches out and grabs Cerveza Cristal. And it's like, it's so jarring.
You
it's
have
hilarious.
To see it. It's funny.
Did you put them on the on
Not
our,
yet.
Okay.
I will.
Yeah, you should share those.
It's,
that's,
it's, yeah,
oh
it's
my
spectacular.
Gosh. It's it's insane.
Well, no commercials, so
yeah. Let's stick with the world of food for a minute. Wendy's, as I had hoped, has canceled their whole surge pricing thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Concerned, afraid of being the next Target. Or Bud Light. they listened to the populace, Vox Populi, Vox Dei. And they, guys, it was a terrible idea. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do it.
Yeah. So film studios, maybe take note. Listen to your fans. Listen to your customer base.
Yeah.
Okay, IHOP and Lay's have combined and put together a concoction that frankly comes from, I don't know which circle of hell, but one of the circles of hell. Rooty Tooty Fresh and Fruity Potato Chips.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ideas. Remember when it's like, oh, I had a great idea. If we mix this food with this food, I'm going to be a genius. That was like source of jokes. You know, old TV shows, old movies, and even among families. Oh, I'm going to create the next big thing, you know, like peanut butter and jelly. And in reality, nothing came of the peanut butter and jelly. That was this crazy and innovative.
That's right. Peanut butter and jelly is the peak, the pinnacle, the apex of human culinary innovation.
But people, it doesn't stop people from trying, right? They're doing that. I saw one that was a ranch and Cheez-Its.
That's right. Yeah. Hidden Valley Ranch is doing a Cheez-It.
Yeah, Cheez-It flavor.
Which kind of makes sense. Like, it's basically just a cheddar ranch. Yeah. I've heard of worse things.
Yeah, like branding and innovation, not innovation. Yeah. Pushed to its limits.
Yeah, let's just leave this out here. Like, Rooty Tooty Fresh and... The IHOP's Rooty Tooty Fresh and Fruity Pancakes are pancakes with, like, fruit and, like, a cute little... like whipped cream and chocolate chip face. Like, it's nothing about it belongs on a potato chip. I have heard from friends who are more adventurous with their palates and pocketbooks than I am, who tried these chips, that they are in fact terrible.
They tried this already out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And,
but again,
who would have thought?
There's perfumes that smell like bacon. And of course, there's the candle made of, forgot the guy's name, the guy from Saltburn. Barry? No, it's the other guy.
I don't remember.
Bathtub water from that dude from. Yeah, and people are buying that.
So people are terrible.
There's taste for everything. Anyways, we also had the opportunity to sneak peek to watch Apple brand new series. It's called Manhunt. Is the hunt for the murderers of Abraham Lincoln, namely John Wilkes Booth, and everything involving the conspiracies, the post-war, and the South, and all that. Is historical. Is very well done. It's available on Apple starting next week on February. On March 15th. And we had a chance to see it. We liked it.
Yeah. I loved it. Super enjoyed it. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. Next week comes two episodes. We're going to talk more in detail about both episodes. Mm-hmm. But put in your schedule. Manhunt. Great casting. Great production value.
Oh yeah.
It was compelling. It was very very interesting, and Apple is doing a terrific job with their works. And we also started this show called Incomparable. I can't remember the show. Dick Turpin.
Oh yes, Dick Turpin. The
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of those really long titles, but it's Noel Fielding. Something's Dick Turpin.
Yeah.
And it's very funny.
Yes.
Hugh Bonneville, of all people, is involved. It's good for a laugh.
Yes. It wants a laugh.
Yeah. Anyway. You're having a laugh. He's having a laugh.
But anyways, Manhunt, available next week on Apple. We thank Apple for the courtesy of sourcing us with the material to watch. To review, we're gonna have a full review of the first two episodes next week once it comes out. But just giving you a good tip, is worth watching if you're into American history.
Make time for it.
And if you into historical dramas, it's
honestly, even if you're not into American history, like, make time for this. This is worth knowing. It's good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, Manhunt. You should watch. You're going to watch, and you're going to come back to talk more about next week. And next week, is that next week you're going to see? No. Is it? Maybe it is. You think what I'm thinking?
Probably not. I'm getting hungry, so I'm thinking
about
food.
So,
but
we'll see more things, and we're going to talk about it. There's more Shogun to talk about.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, there's The New Gentleman by Guy Ritchie. The series is out tonight. And you're gonna see a lot of that and come back to talk more and more pop culture news entertainment. Don't forget to like, subscribe. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, what else? All the podcast platforms.
Yeah, all the places.
So what's going on with Google? Google is going away from podcasts? That's what I heard.
I have no idea. I've only ever gotten podcasts from Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, I heard Google Podcasts is shutting it down. Mm-hmm. But again, you can find us everywhere.
So, yeah, there's so many other options.
Apple, Spotify, Cheezer, Beezer, Blueberry. Anyway, you can find.
I feel like you're just making up words now.
No, some of them are real.
That's funny.
Some of them are real.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for this week. We come back next week with more Pop Culture News Entertainment and all the fun things.
Mm-hmm.
May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.